What's poppin'? Who you? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. TNT Hoops episode 30. Me and my man Quick Bucks in the building.
Yes, sir.
Give y'all another episode kind of before the All-Star break. Give you guys a feel for where our thoughts are for the NBA season. An inaugural episode, in a sense. Got my man Derek Slanger in the building getting the visuals for us. My man Akane and Bandit, Jaquill Wilson, a.k.a. Quilly Quill, in the building as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, let me run down the topics real quick. So, obviously, we're going to touch on the Super Bowl. You know, that's... obviously, the hot football topic. We've got the 49ers and the Chiefs. We don't know who's going to win that. It's going to be a good battle. Two of the top teams all year. We're going to talk some hip-hop. And then we're going to get into our NBA topic. So, bear with us. And let's get it cracking. TNT Hoops, you know the vibes. Gang. On the gang. Bust down. I feel resentment from every direction. Even some homies be wearing expressions. I be discouraged from sharing my blessings. We used to share a connection. Now it just feels like it's wearing its... All right, so the first topic we have today is the hot topic right now in sports, the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs advance from the AFC and the 49ers advance for the NFC. Obviously, in Philly, you know, a lot of people are, you know, favoring Andy Reid here. Obviously, Big Red was here for, you know, a good portion of our... of our young lives, so you know,
think about it's kind of 17,
yeah,
18 year stint here with the Birds, but
and to say he basically engineered Doug Peterson, who's now obviously our Super Bowl winning coach for us, so kind of just have like those mob ties, as you would say,
yeah.
But yeah, what you think about Super Bowl? You got any predictions about it? How you feeling either way? Because it's tough for me. I think the two literally most dominant teams. Like usually you see a team will go on a run, and they won't be the best team throughout the year. But I think these were the two consistently best teams. Obviously, the Ravens were dominant in the AFC, but obviously, Pat Mahomes was, you know, banged up in a certain part of the year, so they had to get their swag back. They started getting it rolling towards the end, and you know, they became the best team in the AFC.
So, obviously, my heart is pulling with Andy, as you alluded to, just. You know, that's our guy, and it's kind of cool to see him finally have that elite quarterback, McNabb, being a star for a lot of the time as he was here for the Birds, but he hasn't had the talent, I guess, at this level before, right? And it's been kind of cool, too, how it's happened. Like, I think the Texans game, we're all kind of under that, like, impression, like, shit, it's happening in Andy again, where the Chiefs have now fallen down 24-0, and it's like, damn, he really can't get it done in the playoffs. I even tweeted it out. Like, damn, like, my man can never get one. And then just to kind of see him flip the script in that game and then even roll it over into the Tennessee game. But I think after that, Texans joined, we're all just like, no matter how far down they are, and everyone's been saying the Golden State comparisons has been flipping around.
So that's my thing, though, about Coach Reed and people's criticism of him in this city and in all of sports. Not all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Players make plays. You know, coaches guide. Players have to put you over the top. It wasn't any... I mean, obviously, Andy Reid has been very creative in his offensive playbook with his jet sweeps and just his actions of, you know, using all his speed weapons, and he kind of, you know, is integrating just that speed guy, that Tyreek Hill, you know, all the speed they use. Yes, that's him, but at the same time, Pat Mahomes is a special, special player. He's who, you know... not to say put them over the top, but you give them an extra push. So this whole thing with, oh, Andy Reid finally got it done, or, oh, it's going to be Coach Reed's fault, it was just going to come down to guys making plays, and the Chiefs have guys that can make plays.
Yeah. I do think that's what Coach separates teams, though. It's like that fine line between, like, the mistake, almost like the D-Ford thing last year. It's like that extra level of preparation, attention to detail, some things that I think people thought that Andy lacked and previous years, but as you said, when you have a game breaker like Mahomes, a lot of those things get covered up. So,
for sure,
the line opening at what it's like three.
It's a 1.5. It's just a one line.
It's a one.
Kansas City 1-point favorite, so it's pretty much even right now.
Okay. If it was at 3 to where I think it started at, I would take the Chiefs, but I think 1 is kind of just a pick 'em at that point.
And the thing is, it'll probably change moving forward into the Super Bowl. And I don't know how they come up with these numbers, but
I would still shit is always Chiefs, accurate. Especially if it was like 1.5, actually. So, yeah, I'm taking Chiefs no matter what. 1.5 outright, no matter what the spread is. I do think that the Niners, they haven't had to bring pressure all year. Everyone's been saying, yeah, they can get pressure with just their front four. This is going to be the game where Salah brings out the blitz a little bit. You're going to see him send Warner a couple times. You really just got to get Mahomes off the spot, but you got to get to him. Like,
right.
A lot of people were saying Tennessee was a little too slow, just to their creating pressure. But then once he got out of the pocket, it was just almost game over. And Houston didn't really work well with J.J. Watt being down. So I got the Chiefs by, I would say, 42-30.
Shootout.
Yeah.
30, so they only get 30. So that's pretty much a hand. You win handily if you win by 12 in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think, it's going to be one of those where it's going to be close, but then the Chiefs kind of pull away late, and then the Niners are just struggling to score maybe a couple 3-and-outs, 3rd and 16, they don't get, gets the fourth down, they have to maybe go for it, and
right.
The Chiefs close it out.
Right now, the line is pretty much what I'm thinking. It's a pick'em game at this point. But if I was going to lean it one way, I would lean toward the Chiefs just because of that dynamic offense. They have the best player in football. You know, he's been the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I will ask you this. I saw this earlier. It was like, if he won MVP last year, I doubt he'll win it this year. Lamar Jackson will probably get it. But if he wins his first year playing, he wins MVP, and next year he wins Super Bowl. I mean, he's the biggest thing in football, biggest thing in arguably in sports. I mean, from what his hype leading up to next year, like you win the MVP and then the next year you just follow it up with a Super Bowl. I mean, this is not like the middle of his career. This is like he's just getting started. Yeah, so you know what I mean? And
like, it would be the kind of the craziest thing. We haven't seen anything like this. I guess the only other similarity would maybe be like Mike Trout when he got into the league for MLB, but nobody watches baseball, cares about it. So Pat Mahomes is definitely...
Oh, damn, bro. Like, people care about baseball.
People care
about baseball. Damn, nobody watches baseball, cares about
it's
it.
Not, like, it's not as big as football.
Yeah, say that.
To be a game breaker in year two, like, it's just not heard of.
You know, yeah, people, like, the average person seeing Mike Trout walk down the street probably wouldn't know who he is. Yeah, but so, I understand that.
So hopefully my guy Andy gets his 15th playoff win, and gets his first ring. I think it's well deserved at this point in his career.
15th playoff, all smooth.
Yeah, I mean
15th playoff. Yeah, exactly. What's his record? What's his playoff?
14-9 right now.
14-9. All right. Yeah. I just want to see his 15th playoff win.
What do you think about Rodgers? That's your guy. It's now been 10 years since he's gotten his
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Hasn't looked as good for him, I guess, in the quarterback comparison amongst the Breeze, Mannings, Brady's, the recent years, just because I guess
Breeze. Why doesn't? I mean, Breeze is always surrounded by more. I think I personally take Rodgers over Breeze.
Okay.
If you go Brady, that's where it gets tricky. You know, Brady's always winning that big game. I think Aaron Rodgers is the most, if not Pat Mahomes now surpassing him, he's probably the most, mm-hmm. if not one of the top most talented guys in just throwing the football, you know, getting out on a run, throwing the football. So
you think at 37 he has another shot next year? Or is it?
Is he 37 now?
He's 36, but I think going in next season, 37. That's how.
Does he have another shot? I mean, it's so hard to win a Super Bowl, man. I don't even look at it. You know, I don't really judge players and quarterbacks, and obviously the Super Bowl is icing on the cake. But I don't say a guy is. I don't really differentiate it by Super Bowl. So Eli Manning is nowhere near the quarterback Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always cases like that where you can be in the right situation at the right time.
I'm asking is, this, you think you have enough in the tank to be the key guy, the key component guy? Like, is this?
Nah, I think there's too many. I think there's too many young quarterbacks in the NFC and the NFL period, and just like young developing rosters that will be. I don't think the Packers roster is that good or good enough. They kind of got exposed in the NFC Championship game. The 49ers, I mean, they really took it to them. I mean, obviously, they've been the best team in the NFC all year, but you show up to an NFC Championship game and you're pretty much non-existent on both sides of football for the first half of the game, you don't really have a chance to win. So I don't think A-Rod is taking – I don't think they have the Devontae Adams, but how many more weapons?
That's just like an early bump they have to take with LeFleur, though. Not to get too deep into the Packers, but it's just like it's your first year with like a 30-year-old coach. you know, with Rodgers, and they're just building continuity amongst one another. Like,
I think they ain't winning anything. I mean, he's I think A-Rod's going to go out kind of the Phillip Rivers type. You know, he's going to keep getting his numbers. They're going to keep winning games because he's, you know, going to be a solid, you know, NFL vet quarterback with, you know, superb talent. But I don't think they're essentially going to win it all. Not with that roster. Teams like that, you have to be more complete all the way through. How that Broncos team was when Peyton Manning was barely holding his own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, overall, I mean, this year in the NFL, I think the biggest story was Lamar Jackson. And I think it was interesting how his season ended, pretty much similar to how it ended last year. And just going to see how he, you know, kind of takes that in stride moving forward. And if he becomes a better player and he can attack every single type of defense, even when he's getting keyed in on a playoff game. So, that was my, you know, big, you know, point of the year in the NFL, Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Is there anything that stood out to you this year?
No, that the NFL is basically just how healthy your team is. It just sounds like a disgruntled Birds fan, but it's really just a game. It's like a coin flip almost every single year.
I mean, you have to have talent, too, though. You have
talent, but it all has to kind of click at once because we have the coaching, we have the ability, we have the quarterback, but it just a lot of guys went down at unfavorable times for us. And so I think from the Eagles fans' perspective, that's my takeaway. From a league-wide perspective, just like you said, the year of the quarterback, quarterbacks have kind of once again taken just a stranglehold and just a show of the importance of why they are the most important position in sports, right? Like, if you don't have a guy like
Watson, yeah, for sure.
Wentz,
Mahomes. You have no it's very important, but this year has also shown me that just the complete roster just matters because there's so many things that have to click, and obviously we know that in football, but you can get away with a turnover or two if your defense can turn them over. You know, it's all depending on how what the flow of the game kind of goes like. So I think quarterbacks get too little credit sometimes, and they get way too much credit sometimes for wins and losses and how games actually turn out. Like, obviously you can only do your part, but if you're a Carson Wentz this year and you're trying to get your rhythm with your team and you get drops and you got a new guy in the roster, it doesn't take away from what you can do as a quarterback. That's just a specific example.
Does also shine the spotlight of how important it is to have a guy that can carry you through those down times. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, be stuck with him than a guy like Case Keenum or something like that.
So. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's switch gears, though. I guess to the NBA.
Okay.
A topic we were talking about earlier in the group chat, and I wanted to bring it up on the pod, was Ja Morant versus Trae Young. Who's a better prospect? Who would you take moving forward? And I think that's a really interesting comparison just because you got two small guards, very dynamic in their own ways. And, you know, it's just a good comparison. Explain your side, and I'll touch on mine.
So this came to me at my desk as I was a little bit bored today and just kind of going through just some of, like, the past week or two in the NBA, kind of prepping for the pod. And it kind of dawned on me just to have this comparison because Trae Young is in the situation where they're losing a bunch of games, but his numbers look really good, and everyone was talking about, yeah, he should definitely be an all-star because he's must-see TV. Ja, who is also must-see TV, his team is performing a little bit better. They lost to the Celtics tonight, or got blown out, rather. But I kind of wanted to just get people's gauge for who they thought would be more valuable to a GM. If you just had to pick, like, your team is all else equals, just average NBA team, middle of the road, who would you take moving forward? And so I think our group chat was a little split on that. Like, you and Lee, Freaky Leaky, picked Trey, and Seth, Joe, and I were on the side of Ja. But I'll let you explain your reasoning now, and then I'll kind of get as to why I think Ja.
All right, so like I said, when you first brought it up, I said it's a tough topic. Mm-hmm. It's just like two dynamic, young, smaller guards. I mean, I think Morant has a little bit more length in, like, his arms, you know, a longer guard, but they're both, you know, frailer, I don't know if that's a word, more frail guards that can score the ball, can distribute it fast, can use angles, and just they play dynamic. They can play up pace, they can play in the half court. They're just both so skilled. So, like, I did think it was a good comparison. I thought we had to actually dive deep into it. That's why, you know, I brought on the pod. But the reason I'll take Trae Young right now, just looking over his numbers right here, I got him. He's averaging 29.5 points, 8.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, 44 from the field, 37 from three, 85 from the line. So that's just so much production from your point guard position. Mm-hmm. like we always say, it's the situation. So that can just be a product of, obviously there's going to be a mixture of, you know, why, you know, he has the numbers he has, but it could be a product of, you know, lesser players on his team, him and having to do more. Or like you said, you were saying earlier, he dribbles the ball, the air off the ball, and his teammates just watch.
He's like one of the highest guys in usage rates.
Okay.
When you're looking into the guy's numbers.
Right, but when you factor everything out and look at his production, there's no way what he's doing on a nightly basis. I can't take what Ja's doing right now on a nightly basis over what Trey is showing the ability to do. We can say, oh, Ja's peak. I think Ja's going to take even another step next year because, you know, you see these guys, the second, third-year players, they start to see what they need to work on, and they take another step, how Trae Young did it this year, how Luka did it this year. I think Ja's going to have that. But I think right now as we speak, you know, Trae Young's damn near getting you 30 a night, you know, 44 from the field. Like, so he's, you know, relatively efficient. I also would take that, just how dynamic he is on the offensive end over – you know, the baby steps of Ja Morant right now. But you did say moving forward, so it's definitely a topic we want to revisit over the years.
So the case for Ja, and as to why I think I would take Ja, one, obviously a little bit of a hometown bias, shout out to Memphis, but first year averaging 18, 87 from the free throw line, 39 from three, 40 from three actually, damn near 50% from the field. I think he just has more winning qualities. And as I guess as broad as that may sound, it's kind of what he can do on a night-to-night basis. Like, the Grizzlies won 10 of the last 15 games in 8 straight. And when you see him go on that kind of run, like, yeah, they're playing a lot of teams that are under 500. It's just being able to win games on the stretch. Like, even when they played the Lakers, like, I'm pretty sure they actually even, they beat the Lakers. But when it comes down, it's like mano a mano. He's going up against those head guys in the league, and the Grizzlies are in games, and he's able to close those out. Like we saw against Houston, like he was able to basically attack James Harden for stretches in that game to where...
James Harden on guard.
You can't move the goalposts. Like sometimes Harden guard, sometimes he doesn't. But I don't know. I just like that. And for me, that's my personal preference. Or a guy that I think he probes a little bit better than Trae Young when he gets underneath the three-point line. Like he's a little bit more decisive. He has a better assist.
Got that bounce. Like you just seen that cram he just had.
Better at the rim. Obviously, Trey's a better shooter in all facets. But I don't know. I would just rather have Ja. I think it's a preference thing. His defense is better than Trey's. Trey's atrocious on defense. And I think this is where the Steph comparison is way almost off because Steph isn't as bad as a defender as people would like to think. He's 6'3", long and lengthy. And Trey's about, 5'11", something like that.
6'3".
Trey's 6'3". Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought he was
listed at 6'3".
Shorter than Steph. But, I think I would take Ja, but obviously we'll see. As you and Leek said earlier, the Hawks have been a little banged up. Collins has been out. Hurt has been hurt. But I think I like their wings a little bit more than Memphis's.
So let's dive into all right. So we both stated our cases. We got Ja going crazy right now. I think you're saying winning qualities. What are these winning qualities? Can you explain that to me? What do you think? You're saying he has more winning qualities than Trae Young.
So, just intangible wise, like just his demeanor on the court. Like, I feel like I would, if I were a guy that was playing for the Grizzlies or the Hawks, like, you look at Ja and how he carries himself and, like, how he's playing with his teammates. It sounds corny, but it's just almost an inner type of
energy. Doesn't sound corny.
It's infectious almost to see. And whereas Trae has those moments, but Trae also has those moments where he's shot 6 of the last 8 times and no one else has touched the pill. And then he's also not playing defense. He's also not being scrappy. So sometimes he can kind of like suck the life out of the gym where I feel like Ja's always infusing his team with energy. And that's something to be said like about a player like that. While he's getting his numbers and while he's playing efficiently, especially for a rookie. Like for a rookie to average, I'm looking at his turnovers now, 3 turnovers a game. I mean, that's pretty high, but he doesn't have nowhere near as high as usage rate as Trey. So, I mean.
Okay. So, do you not think that's a product of his team, just playing on a better team? I mean, you're saying he infuses energy. I mean, you can say all that, but Ja Morant playing with Kevin Herter, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish.
I mean, at the start
Alex,
of the year.
Listen, I'll let you talk. Alex Len, these guys, DeAndre Bembry. You know, these are all projects. These are all guys that can be moved in the next 1 or 2 years. These aren't guys that are consistently a part of a starting five. These are just guys, all right, let's throw them in there and see which of our young guys in the fire can, you know, move with us moving forward. The rest of them will deal or will move picks for them moving forward. Like, you got to look at the rosters. I think the Grizzlies have a more established team. We have more vets. Is Valanciunas their five, man?
Yeah. Valanciunas. Two more vets than the Hawks.
What do you mean they have two more vets than the Hawks?
So it's Jay Crowder and Valanciunas.
That's a vet.
Who else? Look at the rest
of them. Dallas, Kyle Anderson's a vet. Solomon Hill is a vet. These are Jaren Jackson playing in the league. He's an established young player. Go look at the Hawks roster. Pull the Hawks roster up. They have all kids. Everybody on the team, they're all one or second year players. This Jay Crowder and Valanciunas, these aren't like, you can't just discredit what they are.
These aren't vets guys at the start of the year that I would have been like, yeah, they're going to help the Grizzlies make the playoffs.
Well, you
like,
put Trae Young on
his rosters. We definitely would have taken the Hawks roster at the start of the year.
But you still have to see the way teams pan out and how guys play. All these guys are projects, like I said.
And I think that's
you're all looking at it like, okay, the Hawks have a lot of, how do you want to say, potential. They have a lot of guys that could be good. They're a young, exciting team. But the Grizzlies, now you see the roster. Dylan Brooks took another step. Jake Crowder is actually finally fitting in somewhere. He's playing with the Grizzlies. And you got Crowder. You got Valanciunas. You got Kyle Anderson. You know, Brandon Clark plays a young guy. I mean, they have pieces that work. And I mean, they're winning games in the West. I mean, how much better can Ja Morant be playing and Trae Young when Trae Young's getting 13 more points and more assists?
It could be the style of play, though, because the Hawks could feel inclined to, all right, we have to put the ball in Trae's hand, let him shoot 30-plus shots a night for us to be interested.
Who shoots 30-plus shots? He don't shoot 30-plus.
30-plus shots.
Yeah, but you got to
22 to 25 shots a night is what he's shooting.
Right.
So if you, like, I mean, if you want to, I guess, put that out there, then that's the Hawks' choice, but the Grizzlies aren't employing that kind of system. And so, I don't know. I personally don't find that style of basketball, as your primary point guard. Like, he's kind of shooting that a game sometimes. And I think the Hawks could definitely have more than 10 wins, bro. Like, you don't think that's a...
No.
They should have more than 10
if
wins.
You're
they
scoring,
should be the worst team in the Eastern Conference, is what I'm saying.
They shouldn't, but they didn't have John Collins. Like, look, you got to look
at
the guys that...
have the Hawks as the worst team in the East.
I mean... I 100% think they'd still be trash.
The worst team in the East?
Yes, probably the worst team in the East. So John Morant, was he going to score more points?
Not score more points, but he...
So his 17-7 is going to be enough to make them win more games. What you're telling when Trae Young's 30 is not enough.
If you're just looking at it from a number standpoint, yes, it's 17-7.
But his production is what they do. You're saying it's in the system. So is he going to score more?
Guys would be involved more. I think guys would develop better with Ja on the team. Yes,
why do you say that, though? Like, Trae Young is...
Because I'm seeing how the guys in the Grizzlies are... Dylan Brooks has been in the Grizzlies the past 2 years.
Developing? Do you think Dylan Brooks and Jay Crowder are developing because of Ja Morant?
Not Jay Crowder, but Triple J has definitely taken a leap this year because of Ja Morant.
How do you feel? I mean, yeah, that he can be factored into that, but this is what, second, third year in the league?
This is when guys usually take leaps. I think he makes guys better.
Guys that are good.
I think he makes guys better than Trae Young. That's just off of me watching. You don't agree, so I guess we'll just continue.
I mean, Trae Young's one of the best passers I've ever seen in my life. And so John Moran is a great passer, too, but Trae Young is literally one of the
Harden's
so
one
I don't
the best
think
you've seen in my life. Doesn't mean
Harden's one of the best passers you've ever seen in your life.
Harden's an incredible passer.
He is, but he's not like Trae Young. Like, so I'm talking about Trae Young is making full court pass. Harden's pick and roll between the legs. He'll make it look fancy here and there. Trae Young can find you from any. I mean, Trae Young's averaging 4 turnovers. Guys with high turnovers, you know that they have the confidence to make certain passes. Trae Young's that guy. So to just say somebody.
You could say the same thing about John, not an incredible passer.
He is. But you're saying he makes his teammates better, like you're just
he's
saying that
willing.
Straight
he's,
up.
He's definitely a more willing passer. Is he not a more willing passer than Trae?
How do you figure that?
From me watching, I mean, if I could pull the exact numbers up, definitely passes the ball more and has his teammates more involved than Trae.
Yeah. I don't think he's as good a scorer. So you kind of got to find a balance. You can say he is, but he's not.
He's not getting 30 a night, but he can definitely be around 25.
So he's not as good a scorer.
Yes, he's not a good scorer. But the question was, moving forward as an NBA GM, who would you take if all is being equal?
And you said Ja Morant is a better finisher.
He is. He finishes around the rim better than Trae Young.
We probably have to look over those numbers. At the rim, we'd have to probably look at those. But Trae Young is a very good finisher too. Like it's the Steph effect where they could shoot so well, so you don't think like lefty, righty, floater all around the rim. Trae Young has all that. Ja Morant would throw it down on you. Yeah. He'll dunk it on you, but I don't know if that just gives him a better finisher, too.
So just to close, he's on pace right now to have one of the five best rookie seasons in the past 15 years compared to Kyrie and Steph. He'd be right in the mix next to those two guys. 18.6 PER right now, which is ranked 6th in the NBA overall.
My man Trey getting busy back there.
We will continue to track this as the season goes on. What do we got next? Our man Zion played his first game tonight.
Zion Williamson.
Sir.
He's made his debut. Mm-hmm. Got Van Pelt back there talking about it, but you know they played the Spurs, highly anticipated. What is it? A 6'6", 285 rookie out of Duke. Mm-hmm. Huge upper body. Huge, just human, period. Yeah. Running, playing at 6'6". So it was definitely interesting to see, coming back off his injury. What was it, his knee?
Yeah, I think it was more of a cautionary thing. I think they pulled him out for just because it was a little banged up. I don't think it was a minor tear. Was it like meniscus? Like a small, slight tear or something like that.
Right, but they wanted to make sure, his leg was right. They got him the proper rehab. They're trying to get him in, NBA shape. They probably want him to drop a couple more pounds here, in the next few weeks, few months. But we got some highlights going on behind us right now. They're trying to teach him how to, land better and stuff like that. You kind of weren't really buying that. But let me just run down his line. Let me run down his line for the night, and then we can go. So he had 22. He had like a stretch where he scored like 18 in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're still seeing the ability to score in bunches that he showed at Duke, just as off straight hustle, just being a gamer. He had four threes tonight. He's not a natural shooter, so that's just the work, the preparation that, he put himself in that position. 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Something you don't want to see, 5 turnovers, but it was his first NBA game. Probably had those jitters.
Comes with the territory.
So, yeah. Pretty much touched on what he did, but what do you think about him, I guess, as a prospect moving forward in comparison to your new favorite player, John Morant, which I don't blame. He's definitely a stud. But what do you think? Do you think he has a chance?
Yeah.
A chance to run, catch up for this rookie of the year? That should be a good question.
Okay. I'll address your points in order. I think for the jumping thing, it was smart for the Pelicans. At first, like the average NBA fan, I was a little upset that he wasn't starting off the season as we had all hoped. But after hearing a bunch of players, like I think you said D. Rose talked about it, Gil was on a podcast talking about it, and just how a lot of NBA training staffs were just looking at knee injuries completely wrong the past couple of years, and how the approach that they've been taking recently is just kind of with the landing. So
right.
I do kind of buy it. I do think that you can kind
it's
of,
a thing, though, for yeah, sure, because like landing, like I not to cut you off, but landing, I was telling you about D. Rose earlier, like how he used to land so wildly and it never seemed like he had full control of his body, and that's what led to a lot of those injuries. But man, you have to buy it.
Yeah, I think you can kind of scare a guy a little too much when you put too much of an emphasis on it.
Right.
Like sometimes you have to kind of let a guy go out and play, and it's a little weird because when you come back in the middle of the season, like there's such a lull in NBA season, so the magnifying glass is on you completely. I mean, it's good that he came back on a Wednesday night against the Spurs on a quiet night, and it wasn't against the Knicks in the Garden as they had planned to a week ago.
Right.
But I think
he's definitely noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah,
that made sense actually.
I think he's gonna be fine. I think he just with this Pelicans offense is the perfect fit with Zoe, Drew, BI has now found his niche finally and giving you a cool 23 plus a night.
See, the fact that you say finally just shows us that the social media era just speeds up guys' development process. Mm-hmm. Like, how old is B.I.?
I think 23. I can look it up right now.
Probably not even that. And, like, we're finally, like, he had, like, 2-3 years in L.A., and, like, people were just writing him off. Me being one of them, I didn't necessarily write him off and say he wasn't going to be, what is he averaging now? 26? 26 mm-hmm. a night? Which is so solid. Screw down. He's been in the league for, 4 years now. So, that's what I'm saying. It's just everything's so sped up in this era. It's like everybody expects results so fast because you hop on social media and they're frying you on Twitter because you had a game where you had 7 points.
Yeah, and you're playing with the Lakers too, which is another thing that kind of you can definitely kind of phase guys out a little bit. You're always under the spotlight and LeBron comes in and things aren't as moving as fast as you would want. But I don't know. I think that the Pelicans are in a really good spot right now. They're just going to be able to contend for that 8 seed. However, I do think the Spurs, just from what I'm seeing, are going to just lock that up. I know I said
you think so.
Yeah.
You don't think your boys, your Grizzlies, your hometown Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, I would love to see them in the playoffs, but just...
Now you want to shout out. Now you from Memphis. And the Grizzlies get all right now.
I've been from Memphis.
Now you want to talk about me from Memphis. When
Conley and all them boys were giving Golden State hell, I was still, I mean...
I hear you.
Check the tweets. But I think the Spurs just experience. You have a lot of veteran guys. Really good guard play. We saw tonight them being the Pelicans. Just kind of being able to weather hype. And they had a really good stretch last week when I think they won like five of the last... The last 2 weeks, we won like five of the last seven. But I'm going to just always give the nod to Pop, especially when he has a team with okay talent and kind of have to go throughout the year against rookies and guys like his son.
All right, we kind of, so we went from Zion, so we now talking about that bottom seed. Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. I guess the teams in the running are whatever. Portland's still not in there either, though. So Portland may make a little run toward the end of the year. I feel like they always do. Mm-hmm. If they're a little bit disappointing, they kind of like start edging, you know, their way into the mix at the end of the year. So you got Portland, you got Memphis, you got San Antonio, and you got New Orleans. And you have a Suns. Are Suns in the mix?
Yeah, I'm pulling up.
Suns may be in the mix. So all those teams may be separated by a little bit. If I was to take one team right now, I would say the... I guess you just got to go with the Spurs.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because of the experience. Pop hasn't missed the playoffs, like, ever. He has DeRozan and Aldridge, two vets. I think they won enough games going down the stretch to, you know, make that playoff run.
Yeah, so right now the standings in the Western Conference, Lakers at the one seed, Jazz, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavs, and then 6, 7, 8, Rockets at 27 wins, Thunder at 26, the Spurs are at 20, and then Grizzlies, Blazers, Suns.
Yeah, so it's close. Spot.
So all of those teams are separated between three games. As you said, like, as we both have been saying, the Spurs are just, I don't know, you kind of always have to give those a nod. What do you think about the Rockets, just to
the Rockets
sit towards the bottom of the Western Conference division? They're kind of imploding.
I feel like they're always a team that's a hot topic on TNT Hoops. We always talk about, is their system going to work? Does D'Antoni need to go? I think that's one of your strong opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, beating the Nuggets tonight, you know, getting themselves back rolling a little bit after losing to the Thunder for the second time this year. In her last night out, I think they've just been having, it's just too much. James Harden has too many, like, horrid nights now. Like, I don't know if it's the shot selection, because we've seen him go crazy and make these unguardable shots, but then we still see these performances where he'll go 2 for 17,
yeah,
or, you know, 3 for 16, things of that nature. And we know it's like, all right, he can make that shot, but it's like, you probably want to see him get to another shot if it's not falling. And he kind of shoots them out of game sometimes. You know, Russ is even having good, efficient games and are losing. So, I mean, I think they'll figure it out by playoff time, but it's kind of crazy to see them at the 6th seed right now, because I expect them to be way higher. I thought they'd be a better regular season team even early in the season. But they're a bit shorthanded. Like, I look at them play some nights, and I'm like, they don't have that many guys. They don't have that much firepower outside of those two. But they're both making so much money, so it makes sense.
I'm not going to beat a dead horse. You guys already know my thoughts on the Rockets. As the playoffs get closer, I'll start to kind of dive deeper into more of their flaws. But right now, the 6th seed isn't going to cut it, especially for the talent that they have on that roster, as we've seen.
All right.
Hopefully, D'Antoni can kind of flip it a little bit or tweak. But we saw he had a little press conference the other night. I tagged you on Twitter where he's just like, guys are just going to have to stop. Like, it's just, it didn't sound promising to me.
It doesn't sound like he's viewing it in a way where he has to make a change. It's like,
these guys just got
to
play.
You just got to be better in how I want it to be. So I think it'd be a smooth transition if we just go into our next topic, where we're talking, you know, all-stars. Who you think can be any, you know, first-time all-stars, you know, in the, let's start in the West, since we're already, you know, out West talking, you know, Rockets and
okay.
Things you have two guys out West, or maybe a guy that you've been thinking of that's...
So as new All-Stars.
First-time All-Stars
in the West.
I got a couple on mine if you...
Yeah, I'll let you go first because I'm...
All right, so... Call me. I mean, the first one, first-time All-Star, is pretty simple. He's probably been a top three player in the league this year, if not two.
Yeah.
You know exactly who I'm talking about. Your guy.
Late night.
You called him LNL. You called it. You said he's going to be a crazy talent in this league. I don't think you thought he would be this good. I always tell you that. There's no way. It's like a Curry thing. Like, I love Steph and Davidson, but I didn't think he'd be as good as he was in NBA. There's no way you thought Luka Doncic would be averaging 39 and 8.
I mean, I'm glad it's recorded because the way I talked about it, it definitely sounds like if you go back on those episodes just of how, like, I was mad that the Kings and the Suns didn't take him just because it just was stupid to me. Anybody that wins an MVP over in a professional, the second best league in the world, at like 16, 17 years old, it's not a joke. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, it makes too much sense. Like, I think everyone was just overthinking it. But you're right. I didn't think he was going to be 30 in year two, but.
So I guess we agree. First time All Star, Luka Doncic. Yeah, he's time. Leading the vote getting, him and LeBron. And another guy I had in mind was Brandon Ingram. I think it's very interesting. I think we were talking about him earlier, too. I think just what he's doing, his numbers, his consistency on that young team to be scoring, what, 26 a night. Mm-hmm. Last I checked, he was like 48 range from the field, like 40 from three, 80 from the line. Just super solid, being efficient and just taking that next step. I think he definitely needs to be rewarded, especially leaving the Lakers, how he left. You know, they traded him for AD, a trade that anybody will make in any day of the week. But, you know, he's making the most of his situation. I think he should be rewarded with an All-Star appearance. There's a ton more. I don't know if you can think of any right now.
Yeah, Luka would be the number one. All the other guys I can think of aren't going to be first-time All-Stars. I mean, SGA would be the one person who I would maybe consider, and just off of the bat, just because of the stride that he's made this year. But he's just, there's too many good guards out in the West that are going to make it over strictly reputation or merit.
So is the dude from Phoenix making it?
Devin?
Their shooting guard?
Yeah, I think you... Yeah.
He has
to. Yeah, he has to.
Cause he has to. 25. He's a 50-40-90 guy.
Yeah, and he has a lot of respect in the league from voters, and because it's not much of the fan vote. I think that's what I wanted to also make clear on the pod as well. Like, the fan vote is what comes out first, and a lot of people see that, and it's like, oh, this guy's leading in the fan vote, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the...
They say it's 50%, but I doubt they really let the... Like, there's no way Caruso and, like, Taco Fall or even want to be, you know, in the mix. So, yeah, well, Booker, I just think it's one of those things where...
He's the best player on that team.
And what if people always said every time, you know, he comes up in that All-Star discussion, is like, they don't win, they're not winning. Now they're, you know, lingering around that 8-9 seed, that 10 seed, so...
Yeah, you kind of have to.
They're kind of in that playoff picture, so you have to look at him as an All-Star, and I think he's been, you know, playing on an All-Star type level this year. Is there anybody in East that... In
East, for the first time this year. Tatum, I think Brown's going to be in it this year. Brown, he's a guy that...
But you said Tatum, too. So I have those guys. I had them written down, so I might as well just discuss them real quick. Yeah, Tatum and Brown, as Sixers fans, we can sit here and say they've both taken that leap that Boston, you know, wanted them to take. You know, and they're kind of right on par. I think they need a little bit more from Hayward and, you know, some of those guys to really be an elite team. Mm-hmm. But I think Brown and Tatum both being over 20, they're both shooting close to 50% from the field. Yeah, they're both becoming two-way players. I can give them, like, they the way they built and the way they kind of bet on those two guys being the guys, you know, alongside, obviously, Kemba Walker and other pieces they surrounded them with, I think those two guys are All-Stars, first-time All-Stars. Got a little Tatum going right now in the background for us.
And with Brown, our viewers. Like, his shooting is just, I think, like, the Celtics shooting just, period, has improved a lot. I think just this year, like we saw the other night with Smart going 11 from 22, but Brown, like we just pulled up his shooting.
I'm sure he
40%.
Above 40, yep. He's been all year. He's been a solid shooter. Jaylen Brown's one of those guys where you could tell he puts the work in.
Yeah.
You could tell by his game, the way he plays, just his flow. He has a nice pace with his game, and he doesn't really force much. So I think those two. I think Trae Young, obviously, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys where
you have to put
they have the worst record in the league, literally, but I mean, he's getting 30 a night. It's kind of like, oh, man, it's like the. It's kind of like what Kemba was getting some love back in the day on the Hornets.
Last two guys Pascal, and
I think Siakam makes it.
Yeah, Siakam, he has to make it. He's playing on the third seed right now in the Eastern Conference. He's the best player on that
team. I believe they're the four seed.
Four seed. So he's best player on that team. Right now he's averaging 23, 7 boards, 4 assists a night, 45% from the field, 38-3.
So do they get two guys on there then? Or three? Or two? Because Lowry's going to make it.
Yeah, Lowry makes it off of merit.
Yeah. Well, no, he's good in there for the 4 seed.
Yeah, but
Kemba will make it. Lowry will make it. Kemba, okay. So another, is that the only first-time All-Star? What about Zach LaVine? Does he deserve it? Bulls are kind of lingering on that 8-9 seed. LaVine's in that 27 range.
Honestly, off of numbers, yeah, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't watch the Bulls unless we play the Bulls. Like, it's just, they're not in my NBA lineup. So,
it's straight, though. You can see, all right, like, Zach LaVine scores 37. There's a little, the clips of him getting, you see the way he scores. And obviously, when you see him when he played Philly, he's a three-level scorer. Completely player. I think, he should be an All-Star. I think it's very, last thing I want to kind of say about the All-Star is, what do you think they're saying should be the top 12 players from the conference or the top 12 players from the best teams in the conference? Because
it has to stay conference by conference because of that
point. No. I'm saying best 12 players. Because if you do best 12 players, there's always players on lesser teams with better numbers and have more production than a player that's, like on a winning team. Like Ben Simmons may get the benefit of the doubt just because of the Sixers being a playoff team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it has to be a mixture of both, though, because if it's like Trey has to be in the All-Star game, one, because he's the best player on a bigger market. Atlanta's a big market, and he's also interesting. So, I think you just throw record completely out of the window with that.
Right.
Like, with the West, with Devin Booker last year, he couldn't make it, even though he deserved talent-wise, but his team was just bad, and there are other guys at his position. So, it's just, almost a criteria thing. Like, once you get down to that level of, all right, is your team winning because I have to make a decision between this guy or the other, then that should be the breaking point.
All right. I got you. Last first-time All-Star, I'm kind of looking at that right now. Screen from the Heat. I think Bam Adebayo makes the All-Star game for the first time in his career. I think it's his second or third year in the league. Mm-hmm. He took another step this year with Jimmy Butler going there. I think him and Jimmy Butler will be the two guys that represent the Heat in the All-Star game. We'll touch more on the All-Star game as it gets a little nearer.
Yeah. Damn, I didn't know Bam's averaging 16-10. 16 and 5 assists.
Yeah, he's really solid. He can handle all that. So.
Can't shoot for shit, though. 10% I think he's from three,
definitely an All-Star. Well, you said he can't shoot?
He's 10% from three, but.
Yeah, 10% from three, but at least he shoots them. Unlike Ben, we always complain about that. But him and Jimmy Butler obviously have this bet going on. Every three he shoots, every three he makes, Jimmy Butler pays him a certain amount of money. I forget what it was, but just some rich NBA stuff. Okay. But let's dive into, our team. Got the Sixers going in the background right now. Just an outlook on what we've been moving for, starting off this year, how we've looked. We're 29-17 right now, 6th seed coming into the year. I think you and I both sat on this podcast and said with a straight face and dead serious saying that we'd be unquestionably the number one seed over Milwaukee. I don't know if you said that as well. I just know for a fact that I said we'd be better than Milwaukee. I thought we'd take another step with Horford and Richardson and Tobias moving to a more natural position at the three, but it hasn't necessarily been that this year.
Yeah.
Embiid's been out, the last 6 games.
Yeah.
Him and Horford have struggled to play together, kind of like what people were saying all summer. Me personally, I thought there were two versatile bigs that were going to find a way to make it work, but it hasn't, been peaches and cream. And Ben, obviously, the elephant in the room is Ben hasn't improved the jump shot nor shot it. So, actually, we don't know if he's improved it. He just hasn't shot it at all. So, yeah. We're kind of seeing what the team is and what we're going to need to do moving forward to, take the next step going into the playoffs and going to the All-Star break here before the deadline if we're going to make any moves. So, what do you think about the team right now? Kind of rambling it right now, but what do you think about the team right now and where we're going to finish in the East and how we're going to fare in the playoffs?
Wouldn't be a Sixer season if it didn't start off a little rocky, right? Just kind of recent years, I feel like every season starts off with a little bit of instability and shaky, and there's guys hurt for periods and stretches, and then towards All-Star break, after the All-Star break, we pick it up, go on a run, and then kind of end up close towards 50 wins or so. But yeah, right now it doesn't look good. Sitting in the sixth seed with Embiid going down, and like, it's just kind of been a weird season almost. Like, I've been complaining to you over the past almost month or two, even prior to Embiid getting hurt, that we're almost the most boring team in the league to watch. Whether that's just because our pace is weird almost at times, and it feels like we can very rarely catch a rhythm. I know we did in the Nets game and the Knicks game recently, but it always just feels almost so clunky. It's just not a pure style of basketball to watch almost. And I know that just comes with the territory of us having unique guys that fit into our system.
And right. So I'm gonna play your role right now, because this is what you always do to me. What do you think, what type of offense would you think that would fit these guys' strengths better, and what would make us run more smooth and more, I guess, a better style to watch? And
it's perfect right now with Ben playing that, four or five, yeah, which is the four spaced around him, and he's basically elite-level Draymond Green. Like, that's what the ideal style is, but obviously you can't play that with Embiid, which is our conundrum or our complex right now with those two guys.
So could you not? I feel like you still could.
No, because...
What if I was not on the floor?
You could, but then that requires Ben to do something that we know he's not willing to do, so it's kind of...
What? Shoot the ball?
Yeah, and because if he's shooting the ball, then that allows Embiid to operate on the inside and vice versa. Like, those guys can kind of flip, right?
Yeah, but he can still be his off-ball slasher that he has been with Al Horford posting up and other guys. Like, you just have to make yourself available to where people can double off of you. If Embiid's going to work on the post and they send a double at him, then he has to, you know, go in the rhythm. He has to either kick it out and let the ball swing or just make a quick move. Yeah. If they double with Ben's guy and Ben dives to the basket and Embiid can make that pass, Embiid has to be able to make that pass. I think they can get it to work. I just don't think they can get it to work with Al Horford as well. I mean, what our eyes have shown us is it's just too tough to space all three of them. You can't just put Al and Embiid on the three-point line and say, Ben, seal and get your mismatches, which he loves to do. He throws the ball one away, and he dives down, and he just buries guys right under the basket, catches, scores. Like, that's his primary offense. Yeah. And you can't really do that when you have the most dominant center, the best post player in the league on your team.
It kind of cuts the run shorts and those dives to the basket short, because it kind of just clogs things up. So, I mean, that's perfect with just Ben, but then with Embiid, I think it's almost perfect with a traditional guard. Like, you know what I mean? Like a De'Aaron Fox we're going to talk about earlier or a little later, or a Chris Paul type guy. Not saying that right now I would take those guys over him individually, but that would be the most ideal thing for Embiid, just to give him enough space to where he could operate with the pick and roll and be able to pop out only when he deems it necessary, not almost be forced out by his point guard.
Right. So right now, I'm going to be completely honest with you too. And Joel Embiid is, you know, one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player. I don't think he's in the shape he needs to be in for him to be dominant, for us to be a championship team. So this whole pick and roll stuff you're talking, I mean, he's not even rolling and he's not even screening and rolling at a rate where he can be effective. Yeah. You can consider and complain for Ben all you want, but you have to be in shape to be able to get up and down the floor. But me personally, I have no problem with Embiid playing 15 feet out and playing from that elbow area and scoring, because he has a nice mid-range. He has good touch. He can play from that area. He can throw the ball to Ben ceiling from that spot. It just has to be only those two. Yeah. You got to put, like we've been saying, you got to put Matisse on the floor, and Matisse or whatever other wing you want to play that can space the floor, and you got to put Al Horford on a bench and have him lead that bench unit. I think that's going to be the best thing for us.
Yeah, Tease and Tobias would be great, actually, because if especially how Tease has been on fire from three.
Yeah, he's been playing better. Yeah.
So if you have those two guys on kind of opposite ends, then
he's pretty much been 40% all year from three. He had a little slump, but he's been a shooter where you can rely on him, at least. He's not the best offensive player right now, not even close, but what he brings on the defensive end, you should be able to at least start him, and he can space the floor well enough.
Yeah.
But let's dive into...
Before we even do that, we'll just go through Tatis's his last four or five games. He's had 20-plus deflections, 10-plus steals, blocks, defensive rating, floating around 94 for a rookie. So, him coupled with Ben, we probably have the best wing defense in the league. maybe outside of the Clippers, but they rarely play together on a night-to-night basis. So, that's, I guess, one plus of being a Sixers fan right now, and I guess an interesting aspect of us. But let's get into the crux of our argument right now. The guy that's the focal point with Embiid out, Ben, I've kind of stamped my flag on the side of the fence a couple of episodes ago when I kind of called it out and I said that he can't be the guy, yada, yada, yada. I still believe that to be true. He has taken the initiative kind of to be the leader of this team, especially at the defensive end, defensive player of the year candidate right now, him and Gobert are kind of going at a neck and neck. I personally don't think that's enough for what we are asking him to do, especially when we know that his intensity is going to be matched in pressure pack situations, especially in the playoffs, and we can very easily see those games where he just ends up with six. I was screwing with you tonight that, yeah, he's going to have 15 in the first and end with 17, and I think he damn sure did that. And I think it's just, I'm not going to fall into the trance again. He's playing very well, just at 34. He can have those nights where he looks like one of the top 15 guys in the NBA, but I think when it really gets down to it and when he's being phased out by coaches like Nick Nurse or Brad Stevens and he's the focal point of, all right, we're not going to let Ben do X, Y, and Z. We're going to wall him off every single time he gets down the floor, not just 40 or 50% of the time. That becomes an issue, and hopefully he changes this year. Hopefully that's not the case, but I think I've seen enough of the sample size to where, quote unquote, not enough dog. But what say you?
What are you exactly you asking as far as Ben Simmons' future? Like,
yeah, like just your kind of outlook on the team. You like, because you told me earlier, you said you.
Oh, I said my outlook. I said
you're gonna cool off from a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So you talking about Ben specifically or the team? That's my question. Ben specifically, I'm fine with Ben Simmons moving forward. I want to see him in a playoff run. I said that I think he brings too much to the table all over the floor to just jump on his glaring weakness. There's players, every player in the league has a weakness at some point. I think just his being such an obvious one and being such one where you think it's just such an easy fix, just saying simply shoot the ball, give yourself a chance, is what we've been preaching for 3 years now from playing. But I think our frustration towards him being a complete basketball player kind of gets in the way of us seeing how good he actually is right now, currently.
True.
And what he can be moving forward if he does add what, quote, that jump shot or any type of perimeter game. You could look at it from an aspect to say, oh, he's a nut. He's never going to shoot the ball. He's scared, blah, blah, blah. And you could look at it that way. And you may be right. That's the thing. You may be right, but you can't just give up on a 23-year-old player because he just won. No, that is, if you trade him, you're giving up on him. And that's what people are saying. That's what half the city is saying. Trade him. Get rid of him. He's not this. He's not that. As soon as we get any type of value, we have to, find reasons why, oh, it's not going to work or it can't work right now. It's just like, let him develop. Let's see. Let's see what he is when he's 26, when he's 27, when athletes are actually in their prime. So, wait, Quill, what you waiting for? Quill, what are you waiting for? Bro? You're talking crazy in the background. What?
Time waits for no man.
All right, but it's been 3 years. Time waits for no man. It's been 3 years. You see him going crazy.
So I'm not completely solidified in either trading him right now, yes or no, but I said it to you downstairs that we always have to pose the question, especially when the trade value for a key guy is at its peak right now. Like right now, you can still.
So he would be at his peak.
Not as peak as his first talent wise, but what you can get for another guy his age right now. Like you're not gonna start trading your generational superstars or your max contract guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like 25, 26. Like the time when they get traded is right now. Like if you in or out of them. So
I
mean, just follow me. If that were to be the case, and we were to start to explore options and we're saying, oh, we're going to buy into Embiid 100%. We're going to try to build a team around him. We're buying a
700%. Right.
Like, I think that a trade that we had talked about before, De'Aaron Fox and Bogdanović from the Kings.
So that's why I say, you're saying this stuff about value and trading a guy, a younger piece now, is...
Those are two hot pieces that are, I think you get 65 to 70% of the production that Ben brings to the Sixers and for like what our current team and iteration is. You get that out of Fox, and then you also get the strengthening of the bench pieces with Bogdanović, who can average, what, he's averaging, what, 16 right now?
I got Bogdanović's numbers up. He's averaging 14 a game, 3.6 assists, I'm sorry, 3 rebounds. He's shooting 42% from the field, 38 from 3, and 65 from the line. Mm-hmm. That's a bench player. That's a very solid bench player. That's very solid bench numbers. For a piece on a team that they need his scoring.
Yeah.
So it's not like if he could score 20, he'd be scoring 20. So this is pretty much, I mean, but he's obviously also
on a loaded guard team as well.
Who? What guards?
With him, Hield.
He can play two or three. He can play on the wing. What guards? Hield, Fox,
Corey Joseph.
Corey Joseph. Are you serious? I mean, but that's a loaded guard team.
They're all splitting minutes, and he's only playing what 28 minutes a night right now. So I mean,
that's a bench player. That's a solid bench player. So
he's a very good player.
So my thing is always saying, this is where it always comes back to, when you're trading this guy, you're moving on from him now. You don't want him to be a part of your future. You want to go in a different direction. You have to try. If you're trading, you're not trying to get equal value back. You're trying to get better.
You're trying
to become a better basketball team.
And Fox fits better with our team. Like, him and Embiid would be...
I disagree with that, though. I'm going to say
so
why.
Right now, him and Embiid would gel so much better than him and Ben.
So, your main frustration with Ben Simmons is he's not going to get you over the hump to win a championship. Correct?
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox...
Now, this current view of Ben and how he...
And De'Aaron Fox... So you think De'Aaron Fox and Joel Embiid can win a championship right now or in the next 3 years?
Yeah, in the next 3 years, yes. Especially with the rest of our team, De'Aaron, Tobias, Jay Rich, Fox, and Embiid.
So what do you think De'Aaron Fox is going to, like, what do you think type of production-wise he's going to be in this league?
I mean, I think it just opens up a lot more when you play with the best center in basketball.
Right.
Like, I think he could be right up there. Like, you see how Murray's been playing recently.
Jamal Murray's playing. Well, another guy I wouldn't trade.
Imagine him with Embiid, like, and he gets a guy like that with that kind of production, and the floor kind of opens up for him. And with shooters like Tobias and
I got you.
On a way better team, he's going to perform way better than he is now with the Kings, especially playing in the West against the toughest guards in the league right now. So I mean, that's just.
I got your concept. All right, so let me tell you why I wouldn't trade in for any of these guys you're talking about. I think you, like I've said, we discredit what he does bring to the table.
Yeah.
Okay? He's 6'10".
Okay.
All right? So, in basketball and any, like, the bigger athlete is always has that advantage. They're superior in that aspect. He's 6'10". He's getting you 8 boards a game just off the, just waking up, he's giving you 8 boards a game. These guys are in the 4 or 5 range, and I'm not saying I need tons of rebounds from my point guard, because I don't necessarily need that, but just him being a body on the floor, a guy that you can put at the point guard position. You can have him run point guard. You can have him run point forward. To play him at the four, the hybrid five. Like we've been saying, he's versatile. Both ends, he can play each and every position.
Yeah.
He can defend every position at a high level.
Quarters 1-3.
Huh?
Quarters 1-3. But continue.
Quarters 1-3?
1-3.
So, okay. So you can say that. All right. So hopefully we have that developed. Moving forward. You know what I'm saying? But... I mean, that's not there right now. That's the weakness in his game. He doesn't stay consistent throughout the game. All right, that's a
fundamental huge flaw. Like, and it's how he fails. What we talked about earlier. It's, I wouldn't care if he was being aggressive throughout the whole game and just like.
That's where all this is coming from, because you're frustrated and it makes sense. I don't understand
his whole
demeanor
and style. Just it goes even with tonight in the Raptors game. Like,
would you is this like these guys like De'Aaron Fox? Like, what has he shown you? Like. So now he plays with Embiid. So tell me how he just excels now. He just becomes this championship caliber point guard that leads us to the promised land and makes us go farther than what Ben Simmons can do.
It's a hypothetical situation, but I just think that his talent mixed with our team would be better. That's all it is.
For sure, like, yeah. And I'm trying to tell you.
I can't just give you every single game scenario and how he's actually going to pan out because he's not actually on our team.
Right.
But from what I've seen for the guys that he's played with and compared to how Ben plays with Embiid on a night-to-night basis, I think De'Aaron and Embiid would grow exponentially faster as a unit together than how Ben and Embiid have grown so slowly. It's almost scary how much slowly they've grown together. Like, their games haven't expanded to where I thought it would have by now, year 2.5 of them playing together actively.
So there's so many factors that can be going into that, though. It can be coaching, it can be the system, it can be all of that. There can be the player development. It can be what they're asking, what the organization is asking them to do. But, there's only but so my many point other things is, and I keep springing this back, is when you're making these moves, you want to bring in better value. I don't think De'Aaron Fox is leading you anywhere that Ben Simmons is not. I don't think you're being, like you said, you can't. You're just doing a hypothetical and think they mesh better. But I don't know how you can just say that.
Just of what I've seen from De'Aaron Fox and with the average to below average movement that he's played with, I think that you get to just, it's just talent. You get to see a guy with one of the most talented guys in the league. You don't know how much he can blossom. But right now, Simmons, it just sucks to see some nights to see that kind of go to waste. And I don't want to get to that point to where we maybe have an early exit from the playoffs this year and then next year doesn't work out as well, maybe with the new coach. And then it's like, all right, well, shit. Nobody really wants Ben as much anymore because he's kind of, the book is out on him and we know what he is. And yeah, you can go to a team like the Warriors and Kirk and get the best out of him. You look completely different. But for our team,
it's really like the worst case. Like, it's just you.
Worst case scenario, but like, it. What do you think we win the championship this year?
Yes, do you think we win with De'Aaron Fox? No, not even close. If Embiid doesn't play, like you have a guy, so your team has to make sense all throughout the roster. If Embiid doesn't play, which he doesn't, 30% of the time, De'Aaron Fox isn't just taking games over like Ben can, playing all the positions. You can just move him around. De'Aaron Fox is just a simple, slightly above average point guard in the league, and he's not taking.
With Embiid healthy, like hypothetically, with Embiid healthy. Obviously, if Embiid's out, then it's a totally different conversation.
That's all part of your team. I'm not saying, obviously, we want to speak health.
I would just take Ben. Like, if that's the case, like, if I'm.
But that's all part of the team. That's all part of the equation. That's all part of you making a trade for somebody. Like, this guy doesn't get. Like, he plays every single night. He's the best conditioned athlete on the floor. He's buzzing his ass guarding 1 through 5. And just because he doesn't shoot, it's like we can't see what he's doing on the court.
All right, so, what point does it change for you?
So, listen to this. De'Aaron Fox, the gap between Ben Simmons and De'Aaron Fox on the offensive end is nowhere near the gap on the other end. It's like not even close. So for you to just say, oh, like he will blend better and make the team better, it's just like, how can you
say
that?
How much does our defense fall off without the switch with Ben and De'Aaron?
A lot. Like a lot.
From where to where? We go from the top 5 in the defense to where? Do we drop to the bottom 15? No.
Yes. Still in the top 15. He plays 40 minutes and guards any position, bro. They move him.
I just don't believe that's to be true.
You don't watch the games, then.
The rest of our defense is just ass without Ben.
No, you have a guy like that setting the tone at the top of the defense. That's so valuable, bro. When you just put a average point guard, a 6'3" average point guard that is liable to just get cooked. The steals is not what I'm worried about. Ben Simmons leads the league in the steals by far, and that doesn't matter. I'm not worried about steals. I'm talking about actually guarding. You put in an average defensive point guard. You're not getting all that you're getting with Ben Simmons on the defensive end. That gap is crazy.
You still have a good defensive team, is what I'm saying. Still, like, it's not.
You go from having a great defensive team to just a good or average team.
Having the chance of our offense being great. Consistently.
He's not this great offensive player he's not that much better than Ben.
Yeah, oh my God, Ben! How many times do we see our offense look so stale on this because of the product of Ben? We see that less with De'Aaron Fox. That's just a fact.
Okay, I agree with that. But you get the system to make it work.
It's not that easy to coach.
It is. You have Ben. I'm not saying it's easy to coach.
Because what if we get rid of Brett Brown and bring in another guy?
So what makes it so easy?
It's a lot easier to coach De'Aaron
basketball wise. Okay, how? Explain it.
What do you mean? Because it's a traditional point guard and a traditional center, and then you build around that. You have your shooters, you have your bench players, you have everything else to build around instead of a 6'10 guy, another 7-foot guy, and then you're trying to fit Al in the mix as well for your crunch time lineup. You have your traditional.
You don't have to play them. You're saying it doesn't work. That's clearly those three don't work together, and that's fine.
Okay.
You can, and that's fine. You can get three other guys.
It's even jumbled with Ben and Embiid, but that just all goes out of the window. It goes back to just traditional size throughout the lineup. You're still. Darren's 6'3", 6'4".
Let's add in, too, that you added Bogdanovich in this deal, too. We should say that.
Yeah, so because he'd be coming off the bench, strengthening the bench as well. So him and Al. So, I mean, it's like, to me, I think the trade-off with your offense is consistent. When your offense is consistent, you build on that throughout the season, and you know what you're going to get going to the playoffs. When our playoff offense, we still don't know how that's going to look.
That's fine.
I mean, it's fine to you, but like, to me, it's not like.
And the Kings aren't making the playoffs anytime soon. It's that simple. So you can talk about our playoff offense all you want. If Joel Embiid didn't play a single game on his team, they would still be in the playoffs because of Ben Simmons. What he does, how he makes everybody else around him better, how he defends, how he rebounds, how he just does all the little things on the floor, we'd still be in the playoffs because of Ben Simmons. We cannot say that about De'Aaron Fox.
We would definitely be in the playoffs. What? You don't think this team makes the playoffs if it's just Al's the starting center, De'Aaron Fox, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Matisse?
Yeah, you do. I didn't say that. I was about to say this to you. I think that they have a way better chance of making a playoff. So Ben Simmons running the point and playing out there in Sacramento than they do now with Fox.
Yeah, but that goes to what I'm saying. I'm not saying
you're talking about more of the fit, but we're talking about a player. So you're not going to take the better player and then try to fit around that better player.
I'm done doing that because I'm not going to continue to just try to just jam a square into a circle hole. Like, you don't know how long this Embiid thing's going to last. We eventually have to figure it out.
So now when Embiid, say Embiid is, like, dude, this is all stuff that factors in. So say Embiid is done after three, 4 years. Now you got De'Aaron Fox. That's your guy. That's your franchise guy.
That was a choice I made. But if I'm going to continue to buy into Embiid can be the MVP guy, because what if, all right, so on the other side of it, you do get him and we unlock now MVP Embiid and he wins two or three MVPs.
How about this? Sorry.
Is that possible?
Say that one more time.
Is that possible with Ben? Like, we can unlock that part of Embiid where he wins two to three MVPs and
he's never won an MVP. Yeah. But we know that. So let's not do that. Like, you can't,
he's playing 60 something games and he's average. So if he was averaging like 30 going into this injury, he would still be like, you know what I mean? Like, as long as he came back after the All-Star break and done dominated as he would have been, then he'd be in the contention for it.
So what's your question, essentially?
I mean, I kind of lost
I have a hypothetical for you, okay? So let's end it with this. Would you rather have a point guard, a traditional point guard, an average traditional point guard?
He's not average.
Huh?
He's not average.
I'm not calling either of them average. I'm saying, would you rather have an average traditional point guard, Ben Simmons at the 4 and Embiid at the 5? And fit in two other guys in to work with those two talents at the 4 and the 5. Or would you rather have De'Aaron Fox, like an average 4 man, in the bead?
The first scenario, but I don't think this. The second scenario is that's not like possible. It's either one or the other. I don't get what you're asking.
I said, you plug in an average point guard. Average
point guard? Like,
a guy you draft. You draft a playmaker. You already got a Josh Richardson. They got a guy now that they try to give the ball to more to handle it. So say you get another guard. Yes, bro, you're talking about trading. They don't have to do the same thing.
Who? There has to be someone, someone in mind that you can think can come in and help this.
Okay, all right, so you want me to give you an average guard in the league?
That we're giving up something because we like
to you're get talking about giving up all this. I'm giving you a hypothetical. I'm going to give you an average guard. I'm going to give you an average 4 man. Okay. We want to plug in and see how it would make the Sixers better. Or Sixers is a better team. So an average guard, you give a Eric Bledsoe, like a George Hill.
Yeah,
Eric Bledsoe. Let's go Eric Bledsoe. And you have Ben Simmons at the 4, and you have Embiid at the 5, and you plug in two guys, maybe Tobias and Matisse, or Tobias and Josh Richardson. You do that, or you go Fox. Those two, and then you get
Fox and Embiid. Who's the other? You're just saying those two.
Matisse and Tobias, or whatever two wings you plug in. Whatever two wings you plug in, but Bogdanovich, whatever. If you want to say a Bogdanovich trade, I don't. Is he going to start? He probably wouldn't start. I don't think Bogdanovich is a start on a championship team. Me personally. So I don't know how you look at that. But would you rather have Fox? An average 4 man. I don't know how you're not understanding that.
Yeah,
like, so a guy like, who's an average 4 man? Paul Millsap.
Okay.
That's a vet. And Embiid. Would you rather have that 3, or would you still have Ben Embiid, 2 7-footers that are personal can guard, like, pretty much every position on the court, 2 7-footers, and then just get a guard that fit with them? Or trade your 4 man, your traditional 1, 2, 3,
that
4, 5.
Not
going
to be a guy like Bledsoe, just to make that clear. But so, yeah, I would take the Fox scenario because right now what we're seeing with the Ben and Embiid, that shit's just not working.
I guess that's where
and that's where we disagree.
We disagree there. But I don't know. I don't think De'Aaron Fox is this amazing offensive player to where I'm changing my whole scenario and wave and moving on from a 23-year-old 6'10 guy that can handle the ball and run faster than anybody in the league.
You're just reading off the intangibles that they say on draft night for him, but I've been watching Ben.
That's fine.
It's the same shit every single time, and I hate to just keep running. It's like almost like banging your head against a wall.
Yeah.
It's like you see it, and it's
one
to three quarters, all the aggression that he kind of shovels up, and then he's a little not completely useless, but damn near useless when the game is
actually. So before this season, why were you so high on him? And why did you say he's going to be the best player on the team? And you said he's going to be better than Embiid. And you said he's going to be take this next step. Why were you so high on him? Why did you think he's going to be this 25 point per game? Because
Because of everything that I've seen from how the playoffs ended to the changes that I thought he made in the summer to what I thought that would help expand his game to become that player. He hasn't implemented any of that into his game this year.
Yes, and that's what's sad. And that's what you're mad about. That's what you're frustrated about.
Yeah, but don't try to treat this like a therapy session because it's not being mad. It's just knowing that if a guy's doing all that and then not implementing into his game, like it's like he doesn't see it. He doesn't see how much he's hurting the team by not shooting. We saw it tonight when Toronto.
You're telling me stuff I know. I understand all that. We know that's an issue.
So if he's really a smart basketball player and a leader of this team, he should know and see that. But it's either that or he doesn't care. And I don't think he's an idiot. Ben is a very smart basketball player. So it's the point that he's scared. It would have to be that point where he's unwilling to do that. And so I don't want a guy like that to be the spearhead of my team going and trying to win a championship. To me, that just like. It screams.
I thought you were moving him because you wanted Embiid to be the spearhead of your team. This is just a complimentary guy at this point. He's your Robin, essentially. At best case scenario, he's your Robin.
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
And is that a false? From what you're saying now, do you think he could be anything better than the Robin?
No. And that's why he's the perfect complimentary piece to go next to another superstar.
What's an issue?
What are you talking about? My question to you was, why were you so high on him? And all because this
I
stuff...
Thought, because I thought that he was going to make those changes. Because of
all, so everything he can't never make those changes because he didn't make them when you wanted him to?
It's not when you wanted it to, but it's like he's shown the ability to do those things. They're simple things. They're simple things to kind of expand the game.
They're simple things. What are simple things? Knockdown jump shots?
No, not knockdown jump shots. Just put it up when no one's standing within 7 feet of you.
So knockdown jump shots.
You don't have to. I don't care if he can go 0 for 100.
So how does that help your team if he goes 0 for 100? I'm serious. Like people, nobody makes sense with this stuff. How does that help your team?
I'm not about to do this with you.
How does that help your team though,
bro? Because obviously he's not going to go 0 for 100, but it's the willingness to.
So because he's not shooting right now, when we as Philly fans are ready for him to shoot and saying, oh, he's scared.
His team is ready for him to shoot.
Okay, so because he's not doing it right now at 23 years old, he's never going to do it, and he has no chance.
I can't believe this is even a fucking conversation. Are we really talking about a grown man not putting up a jump shot?
Yes, and I'm saying you think he has no chance to ever improve that, and he never would do it. That's what you're saying by moving on from him. Because you're mad right now that he's not doing it. That's why I keep trying to tell you. This is out of frustration. I don't know, but I'm asking you. You were so high on him at the beginning of the year.
Because is there a few?
You should tell me. You were so high on him. I told you Joel Embiid was the best player on the team.
It's 3 years in. That's why. The first, so I get, like, maybe last year, like, there's excuses. Like the first year or two, where it's like, all right, like maybe he's just trying to make sure he's developing the other aspects of his game.
So you still aren't. You never answer my questions when I ask you. So you think he's never going to improve that because it's 3 years in?
It's not looking like.
Because right now, let me read you that. He's 16. He's 8.5, and he's 8 boards. He's 57 from the field.
We had the exact same conversation last year. All he has to do is just take these little things, and it can be 24. But no, like
And why would that change?
Obviously, he knows that because he's not willing to step out of his comfort zone. And that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to end. He's shown the ability. He's not willing to step out of his comfort zone
right now.
What do you mean right now? Just ever, even the slightest bit. Slightest bit.
Like, that's to a critic of a guy that wants him to start knocking down threes.
It doesn't have to be three. It could just be just show like the ability to, hey, listen, like if this guy's going to disrespect me and say I will let him do anything else.
Did y'all know Ben Simmons doesn't shoot?
I didn't know.
All right. Because we just saying the same thing over. We know he doesn't shoot. We understand that.
But how is it not a fundamental flaw to someone as a basketball player that someone shot? You're supposed to help your team win on a night-to-night basis. If you're not doing something that your coach is begging you to in the media, but trying not to make you look like an idiot by saying, yeah, we need him to shoot more threes every single night. Like, well, I don't get what else is the problem here. I'm not just keying in on that as a singular thing, but that goes to show you how someone's mindset is. All he wants to do is get his buckets in the way that he's been getting them, in the easiest way possible. And if he's not getting them that way, then he doesn't care. And he's willing to just not do anything for
this. Get him more buckets in that way.
All right, yeah.
It's simple.
Let's wrap this joint.
That's fine. That's fine. But look, just remember this. You acting like this is so asinine.
Get him buckets in the easier way.
You can fake laugh all you want. I'm saying
fake laughing. All right.
You get him more buckets. You put him in spots that he's comfortable in, just like you do to any other player in the league. Like, I mean, yeah, he doesn't shoot. We understand that. But look, we're going to remember this. Ben Simmons, Darren Fox, when they're all said and done, Ben Simmons is a top five player, perennial, like in the next few years, to 25, 26, 27, when he puts it all together and it becomes that 22, 23 point per game score with the 12 boards and the 10 assists, and Darren Fox is the same basic, fast John Wall type point guard that gets hurt every other week because
I'll be more than happy to admit that I'm wrong.
Okay. I'll be more than happy to remind you.
Yeah. But when he doesn't, and now we're looking at Ben once again this year in the playoffs having a 4-point performance, and we've now lost 3 straight games to the Celtics. We're like, damn, what the fuck is going on with this team?
We're going to lose 3 straight to the Celtics.
No. But when I come into you and I say, Quiddy, what's good? Just give him some more time.
I told you. I'm done with him. This is the year. This is the make or break year. What's up? All if they can find ways to make it work, I don't think we lose to the Bucks, and I don't think we lose to the Celtics this year in the playoffs if we get to play them. So you can pray on his downfall all you want, to try to be right.
Don't try to spin it because I'm not praying on. Obviously, I would like for us to win the fucking championship.
No.
From what I've seen. My eyes aren't gonna lie to me. I'm not just gonna.
From what you've seen, what does it tell you? What's the outcome? Since you know it all, since you got your degree.
I see, you can start getting split. My degree has nothing to do with the outcome.
What movie is that from? Since you know it all, you got your degree.
I mean, I think that we lose.
Monique, she said it in whatever. Precious, I think. Go ahead.
We lose to the Bucks or we lose to the Raptors, I think, in the playoffs, and then it's a rude awakening for us as Sixers fans, as you said, Al Alvin.
So your bold statement right now, what is it, January 23rd, 24th?
We do not make the finals, no.
And that's not the statement I want. I want the statement.
We do not make the finals.
Whoever
we run into in the Eastern Conference Finals, we're not making the finals.
Oh, so we're losing the Eastern Conference. So you just said we don't beat the Raptors and we don't beat the Bucks. Yeah. Chances are we play the Raptors first round, so we're losing the first round. That's what you're telling me. If we play the Raptors, we're losing the first round. That's what you just said. You just said that.
All right, so if we're playing the Raptors in the first round, that means we would be with the 6th seed. I don't think we're going to sit the 6th seed the whole time. I think
we'd be the 4 or 5 seed.
We wouldn't play the Raptors in the first round. The Raptors, if anything, would be higher than us. We'd play if we were the 4 or 5.
You see what I'm saying? Because look,
Raptors would be the 2 seed then. If we're the 4 or 5 seed, then you're saying the Raptors either fall below us or they're going to keep staying on the same thing. They're the 3 seed right now. I just checked it.
Okay, they're 3. I'm saying if my scenario is 4 or 5. If we play them first round, 4 or 5.
Okay.
Which is very likely because all the teams are very close. That's the only point I'm trying to make. If we play them first round, you just said we lose to the Raptors. You just said we lose to the Bucks. Chances to play the Bucks, we have to be the AC. We're not playing the Bucks first round.
More than likely lose to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. If we play the Raptors and we're the 4 seed and then we need to be healthy, then I would expect for us to beat them. But I can very easily see us lose.
No. You just said we lose.
I'm not predicting that. Yeah, come on.
That's why I asked for the bold statement.
So we don't make the final. That's the bold statement.
I didn't ask you that. I established that. Once you said that, I established that.
Okay. So what else would you like?
That we lose to the Raptors or the Bucks whenever we play them in the playoffs. That's what you said. You said it, so I'm asking you. Is that the statement we could
lose to the Raptors. I don't think it's definite. We should beat the Raptors. I think we lose to the Bucks. Yes.
Okay, so you think we lose to the Bucks. That's your statement.
Yeah.
No matter when we play the Bucks in the playoffs, remember you said that.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. I think we beat the Bucks personally.
Okay.
I think we're the way we're going to end the season as far as making moves. We already match up very well with them. We're going to try to make a move to get like a ball handler or score type off the bench, and I think we beat the Bucks in the series. I don't know if we get to the Bucks.
So who will we lose to then if we don't get to the Bucks?
I don't want to see Indiana at all. Like they're the team with Depot. If they get Oladipo back, like. They already beat us without him, and they're really good at home. The Heat are really good at home. It's just, like I said, it's about getting to the Bucks. I was trying to get that out of you. I want to see if you thought that we'd lose to the Raptors. Any other team, I think we beat Boston. I think we beat the Bucks. I think those are the two teams we geared up our season on, and I think the Heat being good.
How good the Bucks
are. The Rap. You said I'm sleeping on how good the Bucks are?
Yeah, like I know.
I mean, I don't care what they do to the rest of the league. It's all the NBA is about matchups. Like Giannis, okay, you can try to score, Giannis. Go ahead. You got Embiid on him. Go score on him. Go score on Al Horford. Go score on Ben Simmons. Those 3, that length. Go ahead, Tobias. Go ahead. Go get your 40. Middleton, All right, like, so this is the whole thing. This is why I do the Ben Simmons thing. Middleton, all that, it's over. Like, we're going to put Embiid on Giannis. All that is slow. Ben is strapping anything Middleton tries to do. And that's what he brings to the table. Boy, I'm not going to dive back into that, man. That's pretty much it for the basketball portion. Got pretty heated today, but it's the first episode. Yeah. First video live episode, man. TNT Hoops, man. Y'all know the vibes.
I just don't want y'all to kill my man Quitty too much when his light-skinned brother from Australia lets him down again and early in the summertime. But let's get into the cultural topics that we got, our Toxic King Future. And
in the background right now.
Yeah, Bad Jersey Drake just dropped.
Life is good is the track, man. Working on a weekend like usual.
Yeah.
Pretty much a smooth vibe. It starts off smooth. Drake kind of vibes on there, comes on there, and then you got Future who just turns it up. It's kind of like the Meek intro to Dreams and Nightmares, and then it's just slow. He vibes through and then picks it up. It's kind of that type of song. And it sounds like two songs. So everybody say, oh, Future. The reason we kind of want to touch on this, everybody's saying, oh, Future, random. You know, Drake's verse, Drake can't bring nothing. Like, but I honestly think Drake set the tone for the song. You know, I'm a Drake stan over here, but I thought it was a hot track overall, and I thought Drake definitely held his own, not like how everybody was making it seem. Yeah. What do you think about the track? And the potential to make a, what was it, What a Time to Be Alive?
Yeah, What a Time to Be Alive, too. I enjoyed the track. I had that conversation of like who ran it more, to me it's just like, I don't know, it's hard to compare because you're never about to say Drake got ran off a track. Like, his verse was crazy on there, although it was a little shorter than Future's. And I feel like a lot of times when Drake and Future hop on the track, Drake kind of lets Future get the shine. Like on What a Time to Be Alive, the first joint, like, he let Future just spin on a lot of them joints. And he just was kind of, like, I mean, like, just kind of, like it was a Future sound throughout that whole mixtape.
You think so? Yeah. I know what you mean with that.
Type beats and it was,
That's the weird thing about that tape. Because people be like,
it was a Future tape.
Drake, like, dragged them along, but people say Future dragged him along. But I think it was
all those beats were tailored, because there was a lot of from Metro. Like, it was all tailored from, like, it was all Esco and John type beats, and Drake was just spinning over it. It was just showing his versatility, I think, more so than me. But like for this, like, I don't know. But like Drake did just as well as Future. And
I love when these guys collab, Future and Drake specifically, and just like top guys in the game. So I think, you know, in 2020 we need to see more of that. I want to see some joint albums. Like, I want to see this KDOT and Cole thing actually come to life. Like, why not do it this decade, man? They've been saying they're going to do it, and I want to see them actually, do it this decade. But what do you want to see in the music, in hip hop?
In hip hop,
what have you been listening to, you know, and what do you want to keep listening to moving forward in hip hop in 2020?
Big year for my guy Jack Harlow. Y'all heard him at the start of the podcast. It was Poppin' John came out of Louisville, Kentucky. My guy, Cool's cousin Dana. His shit has been real. That shit's been coming out as of late. Keep a song out for him and Lil. Keep an eye out for a song.
Plug the tape.
Yeah, what's the tape called, Quill? That's about to drop.
It's about to drop. No, it's the one that already dropped. What's forthcoming?
Forthcoming,
yeah. That's came out. Get out of spam.
Get out of
spam. Pop before.
Smooth vibes.
My guy Glasgow from Westchester dropping some shit too. Mitch Leakes, but from like the actual music perspective, I would love to see. I want more Ross and Drake, man. Like, if anybody want to collab with Drake, I just want to maybe an EP, like all Gold Roses type of joint. I just need like a 6-pack for the summer. Like,
Drake. That's so funny too. How Ross so said that, or think? Oh no, Drake was saying on that Complex interview how he was like Ross. Basically, he's like, him and Ross couldn't do songs and stuff together just because of street, you know, the Meek situation. And how that worked out.
Yeah. It was just kind of like a weird vibe between them two, just because that's his guy. I mean, but I'm glad that's cleared up. I don't know anybody else right now that we're kind of expecting music out of, except for those top guys, because 2019 was more of, I feel like, an R&B type of vibe, and also for the younger artists like Trippy and Lil Key, Stunnerful Vegas Baby and all that. But I don't know. Like, music is just...
6ix9ine out here ran.
Yeah.
Leave that in 2020. If you're not about it, you're not about it.
Yeah, Pop Smoke and all them have also been kind of heating up as well.
Like, hold on. Wasn't Bobby supposed to get out?
Yeah, I feel like he's supposed to get out every...
Like, no, this... Huh?
He get out this year. He getting out soon.
This is year six. But they said December 2019.
People was capping. It wasn't supposed to be.
All right, cool. Yeah. So we just got word that Bobby Shmurda, the guy that's notorious for telling us about his murders. His murders on his tracks.
Alleged murders.
I should say sorry to Miss Hene.
But we're going to close this show now.
She called me Proud Day in the street, shooting Jimmy.
TNT Hoops, episode 30. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in once again. Shout out to our guys, Derek on the camera, Cannon Bandit cool in the corner, catching the flicks of us.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. It's a little bit choppy for y'all, but you know, we're figuring it out. We're putting the videos out little by little. Thank you guys for supporting us and giving us the idea to even get this started. And if you guys want to see the videos, as always, we appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, my man, so said it all, man. You know, I say the same thing every pod. TNT Hoops, tell a friend. We got visuals now. We got clips going to be coming out on a weekly basis. I ain't going to tell them too much, Ansel, man. You know the vibes, but like and subscribe if you haven't already on Apple Music and Spotify. And, if you haven't done a podcast on Anchor, do a podcast on Anchor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by Smooth Meal Prep. My guy Scooby downstairs. I mean, here.
If for those of you that didn't understand, that was let me translate that for you. That was one of our companions downstairs, Joseph Revis. He has now started a meal prepping service where he cooks your meals for the week, and they're pretty tasty. So check that out. What is it? Smooth Meal Prep.
Yeah, on Instagram.
There may be some underscores.
Smooth Fitness and Meal Prep. We'll plug it all.
You'll find all that. You know what I mean?
Support your friends, man. That's all you can ask. But
yes, sir. Tell a friend. Like and subscribe. Gang. Apple Music, Spotify.